Today's episode of The Dave Chang Show is brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Everyone knows about the risks of driving drunk. You could get in a crash, people could get hurt or killed, but that still doesn't stop everyone. You could get arrested, you could incur huge legal expenses, and you could possibly even lose your job. We all know the consequences of driving drunk, but one thing's for sure, you're wrong if you think it's no big deal. Drive sober or get pulled over. Welcome to the Dave Chang Show, part of the Ringer Podcast Network, presented by Major Domo Media. Thank you to Yola Tango, as always, for letting us use their music in the intro. We have the second part of our podcast we did with Ravi Patel. Dad's podcast is a very popular one, I think mainly because we have Isaac Lee's sweet, sweet voice doing the introduction. But if you didn't check out part one of our podcast with Chris Ying and Ravi, please check it out. It goes all over the place, as does part two of this podcast, but I think Chris Ying does a better job of reining it in. And we do our dad's sort of structure, and then we talk a lot more about Ravi's terrific show, The Pursuit of Happiness. Check it out. It's on HBO Max. Very, very entertaining show. My wife laughed out loud many, many times, and I think that rarely happens. And it's a show I think what makes it so good is it's very relatable, and Ravi is a tremendous host. But before we get into part two, Dads with Ravi and Chris, I asked my producer, the esteemed Isaac Lee, to help me do the introduction because he is our resident NBA superstar that produces the NBA Ringer show. And Isaac, what is happening? And whatever is happening, I am fully behind it.
So the NBA today, we're recording this on Wednesday, August 26th at around 8 p.m. Pacific. The National Basketball Association has postponed three games. And I'm saying the league, but it's really the players that are driving this. So the Bucks, based in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, the shooting of Jacob Blake that happened in Kenosha, Wisconsin, very close to Milwaukee, has really shaken, obviously, the nation, but also these NBA players who are in Orlando. So the Milwaukee Bucks players have decided to boycott the game against the Orlando Magic that was scheduled, and a lot of other players follow suit. And now they are looking at a situation where they don't know where it's going to go. It has to do with fighting and protesting police brutality. It has to do with Black Lives Matter. It has to do with systemic racism in our country.
And it's something that needs to be spoken about. And I am beyond surprised at how well the NBA has accommodated the players and their need to express themselves for justice, whether it's Breonna Taylor and all facets of Black Lives Matters. It's been amazing to watch them use their platform to speak on behalf of social justice and equality.
Yeah.
And the fact that the Bucks game, which is obviously the Milwaukee Bucks are in Wisconsin, they were the first team to boycott the game, I thought was unbelievable. And I remember, who are they playing today?
They're playing the Orlando Magic.
And the Orlando Magic basically refusing to accept a victory default.
I mean, the solidarity across,
it's amazing,
obviously the NBA, but also across sports has really been remarkable. The WNBA made some powerful statements, the MLS, the MLB, and this is a historic moment. It's unprecedented to see all of these leagues, all of these sports, all of these athletes. You know, so much of professional sports in America are driven by these spectacular Black athletes. And before they are athletes, before they are sports people, they are humans. And they are using their platform to speak out against this violence and this traumatization of Black people in our country.
And they're doing their part. and it's possible that the league could be canceled. I mean, at least for this season, if the players decide to boycott it, and what a statement that would be,
right,
considering how much they had to give up just to get into the bubble. And if the players are willing to do that, then you have to ask yourself, what can you do? And,
right,
you know, one of the things that I wanted to do with the platform that I have is, before speaking on behalf of the world, wanted to make sure that there was solidarity in our community. When I say our community, I say the Asian American community. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that has really let up. And that is still the solidarity that we need to have, because more people need to be more vocal and to express their displeasure at the continued injustice, you know, of racism, of voter suppression, of gerrymandering, you name it. You know, if you haven't listened to the episode we did with Jeffrey Ogbar, professor at University of Connecticut, it is an illuminating one, and I highly recommend that you listen to it just to understand how deeply embedded racism and white supremacy is in this country. And that's not something that people want to talk about, but we need to talk about, because all you need to do is see the continued violence and the video footage of Jacob being shot in the back 7 times.
Yeah.
Listen, man, like, every time you think 2020 can't get worse, it gets worse. Yeah. And what makes it so terrible is we went through so much turmoil in America only to have months of protesting culminate into this. So,
yeah, I think it's also important for non-Black people to be part of this and to advocate for the movement. It's, the burden is not on Black people to fight for their lives alone. It actually should be on us. It can't just be Black people saying, stop killing us. It has to be us non-Black people also saying the same thing in solidarity, not just in solidarity, but with full support. I'm beginning to think it's not enough for us to just stand with or stand alongside people. We have to march. We have to be at the forefront of this. We have to be proactive. And this has been going on for so long. And if it takes athletes leveraging their position, and if it takes them taking away their labor and withholding their labor, then so be it. Like, this is a lot more important than sports. I love sports. I love basketball. I love basketball more than almost anything in the world. But, man, human lives are more important.
And, you know, we should have this conversation and we should continue. And it's incredibly sobering, yeah, and sad.
Sorry to start off the podcast
but it's important. Like, I think that the best word to describe it is numb. And that's the way Jacob's sister, that gave a 3-minute speech to the press, spoke about it. And if you haven't watched it, you should. It's incredibly damning of our nation.
Yeah.
And she said it best. She's angry and she's numb. And, you know, the fact is this, is like, if I'm feeling numb to this, I have no reason to feel numb. And again, Black Lives Matter isn't about Black people. It's about everyone else,
right,
awakening to the problems here. And we've spoken about this. I don't know how many Asian American listeners we have, but I do know that we have a considerable chunk of our audience is Asian American. And you need to ask yourselves, what can you do about this? And I really strongly believe it starts with your family, your friends, your cousins, your church congregation. If your church congregation isn't talking about this, their priorities are wrong. Like, we need to stop with this conservative bullshit and support the Black community, because this has to stop. And I'm sure people might be listening to this being like, enough already. I can imagine someone saying that. But the reality is we can't, man. It's hard to do your work. It's hard to talk about these things when, you know, someone like LeBron James and the entire NBA is using their platform to sort of protest against all this. So the very least we can do is talk about it and make sure that everyone you know is on the same page. So I know that's a rough transition to go back into dads and to have the sort of the hijinks and comedy, but I think it's important, because Ravi's show is called The Pursuit of Happiness. And that's something that should be universal in terms of your ability to do that. Even going to a birthday party is the pursuit of happiness, and you shouldn't be able to be shot down in front of your kids. That's terrifying and horrific. But this is probably one of the roughest transitions to do. But
yeah,
I didn't think there was any other way, and I have no doubt that Ravi would understand and appreciate this, because it's the same things that he's talking about in his show, is that everyone deserves a chance to be happy. Everyone deserves it. That's basically it.
Yes.
All right. You want to sign us off, Isaac?
Sure. Part two. Okay.
Your voice is way better than mine.
I don't agree with that, but thank you for tuning in, Dave Chang Show listeners. Thank you for your continued support. I just wanted to say that because I don't really get a chance to speak on mic very often. So just wanted to thank you all. And we hope you enjoy this conversation with Ravi Patel, part two of Dads.
With Ravi Patel.
With Ravi Patel.
Yeah, there you go.
We are dads. We are dads. We are dads. We have children, so we are dads.
Let's go into the negatives and again throw it to our special guest. Ravi, what did you do poorly?
What did I do poorly? Does it count that my old dog fell down the stairs yesterday? And are dogs under the umbrella of this show? I have a 14-year-old boxer and her hips are bad. And I still, instead of using the little harness thing, I've been letting her walk around because I feel like it's good for her to keep moving around. And she's fallen down the stairs before. And so I just let her walk up and down the stairs. She hadn't fallen in a very long time. And yesterday she ate it so hard. It was traumatizing for my daughter. It was the saddest thing ever. You know, she busted up her knee in the process, my dog. So I don't know. Maybe that doesn't... I don't know. Is that cheating to bring animals into this question?
I mean, it's very sad.
I felt like I was setting a very bad example of care.
So that thing about like not using the harness when you're supposed to, though, like, I mean, you're... Not to overstretch this, but your parenting episode of Pursuit of Happiness is really about like helicopter parenting and like what's too much, right? What's overparenting? Yeah. And I feel like that thing of like, I know I'm supposed to use this harness that keeps the dog safe.
Right.
But I don't want to because I think it builds character or is healthier for them to, is that like that same impulse? Are you like, I don't want to overdo it with this thing?
Look, I struggle with like the lines between being safe and protective and allowing the kid to, you know, make her own mistakes and get the confidence that comes with doing things on her own. Grit. That's something that my wife and I talk about a lot. It's something that's really important to me because I feel like the way that I was raised, in the sense that my parents basically were just trying to not let me die. That was basically their philosophy. I got lots of love, but you know, my mom said, you know, when you were a kid, I'd have you on the floor in this like little bowl. I would put you in it and I'd rock you with my foot while I was cooking. And I'm like, awesome. Okay, like that is, yeah. And my wife's parents raised her a lot similar to the way a lot of people raise their kids today, which was a lot of attention. And I feel like what that can lead to is a great deal of sensitivities as an adult. That's at least my fear. And I can tell you now, having gone through the episode that you saw on parenting, having gone through that in earnest and that truly being the continuation and beginning of an important conversation about our philosophies in parenting, like I think where we've landed now is that we enjoy knowing a lot about parenting. We enjoy discussing it. We enjoy doing better. But we're also working really hard on forgiving ourselves and knowing when to relax and